Chris promised us some autumnal colours, and here we are. There's a riot of reds and oranges, and these trees in particular down here, Chris, they do you proud, don't they?
Yes, I planted them specially for autumn colour, would you believe? They're not really a native, but years ago I planted trees for all sorts of different reasons, and some were a mistake. There's a row of Lombardy poplar there, and when I went into a stewardship scheme, Natural England got very sniffy about whether they should stay or whether they should go, and people in the parish actually did a petition to say that they should stay for the rest of their lives and then not be replaced with Lombardy poplar.
So there they stand.
There they are.
I mean, close your eyes a little bit and we're in Italy, aren't we?
Well, yes, and that's my first week's wages from my father. So I remember it well. I think I was just 17. And that's what I bought with some of my first week's wages.
But you can see them from the main road, can't you? When you're on the bypass here. They're such a landmark.
They're, what, 65, 70 feet up there now. So, and just look at the colour. So those are Norway maple on the other side of the meadow. The low sun's just catching them. And then over there, we've got what's called Cantley Hill Plantation. Some giant beech trees out there. 90, 100, 110 feet tall and 6 feet through the trunk. They're massive animals, if you like, and I just love them. And the colours are changing almost by the day at the moment. So what causes that? Because during the summer months, the leaves are green. And if I can explain what we're looking at, green is the pigment in the leaf that harvests the sunlight and makes it into sugars in the tree. And so it's chlorophyll, it's green in colour. And generally that's the colour of the leaves through the summer. But usually about midsummer in June, somewhere about then, the oak trees put on a big spurt of growth. And the new leaves coming through, and I often get questions about it in the farm office, that the oak tree leaves have gone bright red. And that's because the chlorophyll hasn't yet arrived in the new growth. And so those colours, those reds and deep purples that you will see, is called lammas growth at that time of the year, midsummer. But the rest of the time, the chlorophyll kind of holds precedence over the other pigments in the leaves of trees. And the two main ones now, because we're getting to the stage where the trees are finding it hard to find moisture, the night temperatures are dropping, sun levels and light levels are also dropping, and that causes this huge change to happen. In fact, the trees with colour on, that change has already happened, and the leaves have been cut off. So the chlorophyll's been harvested by the tree. That goes kind of back into the tree's nutrients, if you like. But the remaining colours, the reds and the yellow's called flavonoid, and the reds and russet colours are carotenoids. They're the two main chemicals that are left in the thing, in the twigs and on the leaves. And what's happened to cause that is the leaf's been cut off already. There's a little kind of almost like a razor blade cut of cells that goes where the leaf joins the twig, and that's called the abscission layer. And then the leaf from that point on is doomed, although we have these lovely colours. That's the reason I planted the Norway maple. But if you go into particularly the northern part of the United States, you'll have silver maple and red maple, and they are even more flamboyant than what we're looking at. And when the sun's out, you kind of almost lean backwards with the colours.
People travel to New England in the States, don't they, particularly, just to see this display?
Absolutely. And there's nothing to quite like all the different colours of browns, greens, reds, and just glorious. And some of the non-native species like the acers, and sometimes in city parks the maples are planted as well as our own native maple, the field maple that we have here at the farm, lots of them. They all sort of sport these flamboyant colours.
A lot of people loved the episode, Chris, about fungi or fungi forage. And in fact, Julian has emailed from Halesworth to say, do you think there's a certain formula in the weather pattern, some years are better than others, for fungi?
Absolutely. Without knowing it, you've kind of hit the nail on the head, because fungi like moist conditions. And although this time of the year, sort of after the middle of October, it's kind of peak fungi time, that's the fruiting body of the fungi. The main portion of the fungi is present really all the year round, but it's more prolific and it produces more autumn fruiting bodies if the soil is moist through the summer months. And that's exactly what's happened this year. And we've had the warm temperatures. And so this autumn, we've got a terrific display of different coloured fungi. And we've moved into the woodland now. We're in Fox's Grove. Lots of mature trees around us. And it's very tempting to look upwards and kind of realise that the light level's gone up here, because this was one of the gloomiest parts of the farm in terms of lack of direct sunlight. And it's a perfect year. And I said we'd visit some of the colourful species of fungi, and in front of us is some almost, well, I don't know what colour to describe it, but I do know what species it is. It's called violet dappling.
Well, there is a violet tinge around the side there.
Yes, there is. They're diminutive little fungi, and they're fairly common. They're not edible.
Well, although, here we are, look.
Yes, that's a good one. Well done. Well spotted. And it is, I suppose, when we go into the woods in the spring and we find the first violets of the year, it is kind of that colour. Sort of. Anyway, that's a species. They're called dapplings. It's a member of... there's quite a number of them. There's a better specimen there, that lovely kind of violet colour, and they're all doing the same thing. They're breaking down the old dead wood on the woodland floor.
I tell you what it looks like, it's the same colour that garlic looks like sometimes.
Exactly, when you take the skin off the garlic, it's kind of that purpley violet colour underneath. It's really difficult to describe all the different colours, because it seems as though there's more colours in the fungi spectrum than we've got names for them. And here's an interesting one. It's one of the commonest ones of all the fungi. And it's really interesting. It's called the candle snuff fungus. I love the names. There's so many species, I think. The early mycologists ran out of names, and so they started to have the more and more extravagant names for the later species that were found. So just the candle snuff. Now, it's interesting. It's on an old piece of ash wood here, and it's almost like the yellow stag's horn that we saw 2 or 3 weeks ago. But in this case, the fungal fruiting bodies are white, but at their base... they're black, and it looks as though you've been burning a candle wick, and then you...
Oh no, I just saw the seeds coming.
You saw the spores coming
off. Spores, yeah. Yes. I mean, they're smaller than a candle would be, obviously, but it looks maybe if an Airfix modeller has made candles.
Well, you just think of the candle wick,
see. Yes, that's it.
It's at the top of the candle.
Oh, the wick, yeah.
Yes, candle wick, yeah. Yes. So, and the bottom part is the bit that hasn't yet burnt, and the bit you blew out is white, as though it's the ash. And when I blew it, unintentionally, I didn't realise we were going to get the fungal spores coming off.
Yeah, I've got them all over me now.
I've helped this particular species. So again, it's common, but people have tried to eat this.
Oh no,
and it's just completely inedible. You might as well eat sawdust, you know. But it's really intriguing in the fungal world what people would like to eat. So thank you, Julian. That's inspired yet another visit into the woodland here, because it's such a superb year for us to explore the different fungal species. Now, Matthew, we have got a little bit more of a trek to do, because just every year or so, we have to come down here and visit one of the most colourful of all the fungi. I have to do it. It's right on the edge of the farm bog, so the ground will be a bit shaky, and there's silver birch. You can see how wet the ground will be. You can see the trees with a very light coloured trunk through there, and that's where we're heading, because this particular fungi, which we're now going to visit, really is closely related to birch and the roots underground. So a little bit more of a trek.
Well, I've been dragged across the stream and up the other side again, and I've made it in one piece.
I did warn you.
And Chris, lots of leaves on the ground. Where are we looking?
We're looking at beech trees quite near us. Lots of silver birch. There's one giant one there. And I'm leaning against this one after going across that ditch. That was quite a task. And I'll just give that dog a whistle.
Oh, we're quite close to the road, aren't
we? Oh, good. He's behind us. That's very good. Right. Lots of excitement. This fungus at our feet appears in most children's books, I suppose. It's the ultimate fungus, and Rat has just missed a prime specimen. He's run past it, and it's the fly agaric. It is just amazing. There's some large ones over there underneath the holly,
yes.
But we're near one which has just emerged.
It's red with dots there, and
yes.
We'd call it a toadstool, really.
I suppose
we?
You can call it what you like, but it is quite poisonous. You might get away with eating one, but more than that, it can be fatal. I think it was in 1873, a United States diplomat had a dozen for breakfast, and after about 24 hours of violent convulsions, he expired. We did talk in previous weeks about a Pope, I think it was Clement, that had also been killed with a death cap, which is also in this woodland, but you do have to be careful. But this one causes hallucinatory effects, so it's kind of a similar chemical to what's in LSD, but there we are.
But they're very attractive, isn't it? And I suppose that's the whole paradox of the situation.
Yes, it is, and people like to eat unusual and attractive things, and I don't understand the mentality of it, but people will actually eat them, and particularly in the past, some of the Siberian tribes, the Koryaks was one particular tribe, and they would dry them and then eat them in powdered form over the winter months, and sort of induces hallucinations. Fortunately, these days, vodka drinking has pretty much taken over. But nevertheless, what we're looking at, if I go down to the ground here on my knees again on the damp woodland floor, these little white dots were joined together. So just as the fungus emerges, all that white, which is now sort of dispersed into dots over the top of the fungus, is a veil. And as the fungus grows very quickly, probably not much more than 24 hours, the dots become separated. And then this one over here, which is pretty well mature, the cap's good 4 inches, 100 millimeters across, and the dots have almost formed lovely little circles around the top. So you can see where that lovely word toadstool comes from, and you can imagine come down here at night and it's dark, still, and very, very quiet, and you can imagine fairies sitting around the top of them, particularly if you've been eating one.
Oh, it's always such a joy having you along to visit at High Ash Farm, and I really hope you loved the ramble as much as we did. If you'd like to hear more of Chris Skinner's Countryside podcast, you can. Just head to countrysidepodcast.co.uk and you'll hear all 61 episodes right there. Thank you again for having us.